giving with the power problem. So we have to get on board with parallel computing. And actually the essence of parallel computing is a kind of multitasking. So we are very familiar with it. I think our human beings are very our natural multitasking performer. So basically we can do parallel cooking. You know, you can use multiple stove to do this multiple things at the same time. So we are in principle we are get used to it. But however, why parallel programming seems so difficult in reality? So I'm trying to address this kind of difficulty, fundamental difficulty for parallel programming. So for parallel programming paradigms, I think we need to focus on three criteria. First is the parallel programming model should be easy to understand so that we can understand the side effect or whatever or the consequence of the model if we do something about the model. And the second criteria is just easy to use. So it seems to be easy to understand and easy to use is the same thing, but actually they are very different. For example, like MPI model, message passing model, is very easy to understand because it's very simple. You just send and receive messages. But it's not easy to use because the level is too low. And it's hard, especially when it comes down to debugging and also the sort of coordination issues. It's hard to use. And the third one is, of course, is to enable high performance. That's also the key point of parallel computing. Otherwise, we don't need parallel computing. The essence is we need high performance so that we turn to parallel computing. And the fundamental issues in parallel computing is basically one is time, one is space. So if we look at the parallel computing, the time issue is about the synchronization between different computing entities, like different tasks, that they are ordering, or the, how to schedule them, load balancing, those sort of issues. Another issue is basically about space problem, how to avoid the collision between different computing entities to avoid issues such as data race. So those two issues, like mutual exclusion or data race, are actually hot issues in parallel programming. And actually the time and space issue, they might convert with each other. For example, in message passing interface, there was no space issue because they have converted a space issue into a kind of time issue. So they avoid space conflict by using message passing. So basically I'm going to compare these two different styles, like a share everything and also message passing model in general. So basically we have traditionally we have two camps. One is shared memory model, another one is message passing model. Message passing is really easy to understand because everybody think, oh, that's easy. We get the essence, we just pass the messages. But actually it turned out to be very difficult to use. And I often heard about the complaints from MPI users that they think it's very hard to use MPI or message passing, especially when the number of processors is increasing. Shared memory model is relatively easy to use and it's very straightforward. Basically, you just share everything. But sometimes we have difficult problems. It's difficult to understand the issues. Sometimes, like data race or data log, those kind of issues are there. And sometimes we have low performance. So basically, I'm going to just address two issues related to parallel programming. One is a data race. Another one is data log. Data race is multiple processes or multiple computing entities write to the same memory location and one of them is write without any sort of locking protection or mutual exclusion. And the data log is obvious. So those two issues actually are very hard for parallel programming with, when you use parallel programming with shared memory, especially when we stress the software reliability, is even a further problem regarding that a sequential problem is already a problem. We have a buggy software, but now with parallel software is actually this problem is exacerbated because the data rate is even harder to debug, and also data lock is also hard to debug as well. So basically we have some solutions, actually more new solutions from the traditional lock-based programming. One is the transactional memory, which can avoid data lock because it can roll back if there's any conflict regarding the access of the shared memory. But it still has a data rate issue because there's potentially if you don't use transaction, then you might different computing entities might access the same memory location and cause data rate. Another solution is what we are proposing, we call it a view-oriented parallel programming, which actually use shared memory, but not automatically. So in this morning, I think a gentleman mentioned that why shouldn't we start just share everything style? Why not we start a share nothing style? So basically for VOPP, we start with share nothing, but when we want to share, we use view. So that's a kind of a style between share everything and also share nothing. We share, but we shared with some rules or with some facilities for shared memory. And this kind of style can actually combine many different programming styles like a lock-based mechanism or transaction memory together, and also can facilitate performance. So this idea actually is quite simple. We basically say any shared memory or all the shared data between the processors need to be partitioned into different non-overlapping sets of data. So they are basically divided into non-overlapping sets of data. And initially we assume they share nothing. And once you want to share anything, you need to create a view. So this is basically what we call a view. A view is a set of data objects which can be shared by multiple processors. So basically at the moment we are using processors instead of threads because multi-threading share everything by default. And the generic VOPP rule is like a view should consist of data sets, data objects, and they should be always processed as all or nothing set of data. Okay, so basically they are atomic. If you want to define a view, that means you use the whole set of data at one time. Should be guaranteed atomicity feature. And the view can be created and destroyed at any time. And actually they can also merge and combine anytime. That's not a problem. And each view, we have a unique view identity, identifier. And we normally use view primitives to acquire view. Before you want to access a view, you acquire the view. And after you finish using the accessing the view, you use release view. And this kind of rule can be, of course, relieved by compiler support. We actually are addressing this kind of problem by automatically detect the view at the runtime or by compiler support to partition the view. But at the moment, in this talk, we want to share the advantages in general about the VOPP. So we are not going to talk about compiler support in this talk. Also, this idea is language independent. We can actually basically apply this idea to many other languages. So this is an example for producer-consumer problem. And initially we can allocate a view, just view malloc, like if you use malloc to allocate a piece of memory. But however, that piece of memory is shared, not local. And once you want to access the view, you use acquire view, and with the view ID here, and you do whatever you want to change the data, and you produce the data, and after that you release the view, and that's a kind of producer. For the consumer, it just acquire the view for read-only access, and read the data and process data, and after that release the view. So that's basically a very brief example to let you know the very fundamental idea of UOPP. Another example is a task queue. So we enqueue a task. Each time we create a new task, and we acquire the view before we create a task. And after that, we use the view ID to enqueue the task data. Each time when we need to process a new task, we just dequeue the task or dequeue the view ID. And then from there, we can acquire the view with a new ID, and then we process the task and release the view. So this is just another example to show you the style of UOPP. Actually, there are more other situations we need to deal with, or maybe very specific examples. We'll address that those specialties later. So the advantages of UOPP is it's really easy to use because it still uses the convenience of shared memory. We don't need to consider which processor we send the message. Instead, we just need to consider which view we need to acquire. And then once we get the view, we assume all the programmer can assume the view is get consistent automatically by the system. And also it's easy to understand. Basically, at the moment for UOPP, we don't need any locking issue or mutual exclusion concept in the model. For us is when you acquire a view, either we automatically lock the view or we use transaction memory as such sort of mechanism to protect the automaticity of the view access. So the mental model is simpler. We only focus on which data to access instead of consider the issues like a data lock or data race or mutual exclusion. We think that those issues shouldn't be part of the parallel programming. And the third one is the performance enabling. Programmers can still use the view if they can fine-tune the partition of the view. Then we can enable high performance. And the performance can be actually comparable in distributed system with MPI algorithm. We will show you the performance results later. So the philosophy of UOPP is really like we think shared memory is a critical resource in the future, especially for scalability. If you really want your program to scale well, you shouldn't use shared memory or just use some of the shared memory, a little shared memory. So VOPP give us an opportunity to justify using the shared memory. So if you initially we share nothing, and if you really want to share something, you need to create a view. That means you need to justify it and then create a view for sharing. And the issues of data race, data lock can be removed from VOPP. So first is data race free, because we organize the shared data into different views. So that when we access the view, we can just protect the data, use our page-based memory protection to protect the piece of view. So that if somebody else is accessing the same view, they will either have to wait, or if they don't use the view primitive and access it directly, they will get a page fault. So in that way, we can just protect the system from data race problem. And another issue is data lock. So basically we have the view primitives which can acquire multiple views at the same time. The system actually can acquire the view in the same order for the whole system so that we can avoid data log. Also, we can adopt transaction memory for each view. So if we can, if we want to totally avoid data log, and also enjoy the flexibility of non-partitioning of the view, then we can go to transaction memory. We can use a whole piece of transaction memory and allow multiple processes to access the same view at the same time concurrently. And underneath, we use transaction memory mechanism to roll back if there's any conflict. And the view is very portable because we can hide the difference of memory architecture in the current modern computers, because we have a cache, we have a different layer of caches, and also we have memory, and in distributed system we have remote memory. So those sort of things can be all hidden inside a view. So we use the view concept to make it portable across the different platforms. And we did implement the concept of VOPP in both cluster computer and also CMP computers, and with high performance. And also we can enable sort of view prefetching, you know, in this kind of optimization to enable high performance. As I said, this kind of idea is language independent. It can be part of a language constructor for the view. And we also have advanced classes of views which can deal with different situations, especially when we want to access data at the same time, which we know there is no data risk at all. And in that case, we can use some special views such as multiple writer view to enable high performance. And of course, then the programmer may face the risk of data race, but that kind of data race is only confined by inside a view instead of the whole program or the whole shared data. And also we use transaction memory view to totally avoid data log issue. Yeah, I'm not going to. I think that the time is a little bit. I have 10 minutes. Or 5 minutes, yeah. So I will show you some results, anyway, directly to the results. We have implemented two systems based on VOPP. One is a Vodka, which is based on cluster computer, and it's a distributed shared memory style system. And another one is a Multi, which is based on CMT, and we have implemented on x86-64 and also Sun Niagara T2000. And these systems are actually open source, they are on the GPL, and if you are interested to have a try, you can send me an email and I can just give you the whole system. And this is the first experience is on cluster computer. We use a 128 Itanium 2 processor, Itanium 2 processors running Linux. And we have, at the moment, we don't have many applications, but we have integer sort, Gaussian elimination, and SOR, and neural network applications to provide a preliminary performance results. And this is just show you our performance with compared with traditional distributed shared memory and message passing interface, MPI. And from the results, we will see that Vodka and MPI are very close, even though Vodka is slightly less scalable than MPI when the number of processors is higher, it's reaching 32. So these results are very similar. And another experimental result is we have done it on SUN T2000 and it's on a CMT machine. We call the system is a multi. And for this one, actually our system is the performance is very superior. It's better than OpenMP and MPI because MPI is good for distributed system, but actually for shared memory system, which we have, if we have hardware shared memory, it cannot, it has to copy the data from memory to memory. So that kind of copy is a big overhead. So basically we, our performance is better on multi-core compared to MPI. And we have some other results as well compared to MPI and OpenMP. And basically, VOPP is the best among the three. And also we have used the helper thread to improve the performance. And we prefetch the view from the memory to the cache when we acquire the view. And we use another thread to do this kind of prefetching, which has also improved the performance of view access. So basically, this is a very rough introduction of VOPP, and for the next stage, we are going to implement this style in a multi-core cluster. Basically, we have multi-core nodes, and also was connected by network, normal network, and then we're going to test the performance and compare with MPI and other platforms regarding the performance. The good thing is that VOPP can be adapted to both distributed memory and shared memory, and other shared memory-based systems like OpenMP and the Silk, they can only work on shared memory system, and it's not easy to adapt it to distributed system. I think that's all from me.
Thank you very much, Gigi. Please join me saying thank you to Gigi. Maybe if you leave the slide with the contact detail. That's the one. Somewhere should be an email address somewhere. And we have time for one question for a 30 seconds answer. Okay, you got the message. I had the privilege to work with you time ago, so absolutely sure that if you want to be in touch, you will be back immediately. I will invite now Matthias Meyer, the second of the German community of this afternoon. So, and after that, we have Timo at 2:10, Stephen at 2:30, Paul 2:50. So it's a pretty dynamic thing. Matthias is from Victoria University and now at the MacDamon Institute, originally from Germany. I'm introducing him like as a beauty contest, but I think that it will work. So, look at that. Looks like an old Mickey Mouse movie. You see? Punk rock, okay, cool.
Let me switch on my computer.
Good. Ready? Not yet.
It's an old machine of patience.
Well, it's supposed that Ubuntu works better in all machines.
yeah, maybe.
Okay.
I know, so it works surprisingly well. The The laptop is 6 or 7 years old, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, it tells you that, oh, warning, it might die any second, but somehow it's still alive. I don't know why.
In the meantime,
I mistreated this as much as I could.
Look at that. All yours.
Cheers. Yeah, hi, I'm a physicist by trade, so many of the things I heard this morning didn't make much sense to me. But yeah, I was always